The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. And let's start off with a dear reader from the editor. Are you a bear person? Is anyone a bear person besides me? By bear person, I mean that I can hardly recall the details of my two kids' birth, but for some reason I can picture every bear I've ever seen. And I've seen a surprising number of them, and how I felt at that time. A few years ago, on my usual morning forest hike, I was off trail when 75 yards ahead, Viola, two tiny cubs splashed in a stream. Mama Bear looked on. We were just a mile outside our busy Connecticut city. 3 or 4 minutes the cubs played, scurried and flopped, and watching them I felt, thinking back on it today, I can feel it all again, the tangible sense that I was a father, son, husband, and journalist, pushing through my 50s, and damn if I wasn't incredibly alive. All because of a family of bears. I could go on and on. I am no storyteller, except about bears. My only Boy Scout backpacking trip back in the 70s, when I heard bears tear through all the troops' food one night, except for the eggs I sneakily hidden in the Merced River. On a visit to Yellowstone as a kid, when a hungry bear climbed into the roofs of several station wagons, including the one of my whole family in it. The time in 2015 when an unimpressive juvenile bear somehow made her way to our house in the center of a city of 250,000, climbed our tree, and fell asleep. I could take that bear on, my teenage son quipped. How could I ever forget these or any of the other 20 other bear moments I've experienced? For some reason, I can't. I believe bears even give me my name, my career. Reading in Sports Illustrated as a teen about the amazing stories like that. Enjoy a nicer man-meets-bear drama. The Bear Who Came to Dinner. In this issue, when please share, why do bears of all things imprint on me like this? Bruce Kelly, Editor-in-Chief. Letters, notes on the July-August issue. America the Tasty. I admit to being a traditionalist when it comes to Thanksgiving. But seeing the photo of tofurkey on your roundup of favorite foods from all 50 states makes me glad that someone else is enjoying this delicacy. Brian Perkinson, Rochester, Washington. Many people who live in Massachusetts wonder why we are known for baked beans. I'd say clam chowder is our signature dish. You chowder heads? No, Dehenny, Waltham, Massachusetts. Everybody loves Ben and Jerry's, but they are relatively new to Vermont's food heritage. What about maple syrup on ice cream and maple candy, and especially in the season's favorite sugar on snow, clean packed snow in a pan with boiled syrup poured in rows and wound into a fork and eaten like taffy? Don't forget sour pickles to cut the sweetness and raised donuts to clear the palate so you can start again. Linda Ward, Emmett, Idaho. Everyday Heroes. I was born and raised in Paradise, California. I cried as I watched on TV the horrific wildfire that destroyed my hometown in November 2018. I can only say thank you for Greg Zanis for his acts of love and remembrance, making wooden crosses and other memorials for victims of the fire and the tragedies elsewhere around the country. To all the victims, you will not be forgotten. Permission Cluett, Davenport, Midvale, Idaho. The food on your plate. An interesting fact about corn on the cob. Every ear has an even number of rows. A small ear may have 10 rows, and a large ear may have 14 rows, but it's always an even number. Oh, that's interesting. Joan Zagara, Clifton, New Jersey. The last bad day. After reading about the USS Indianapolis, I am reminded of the USS Monahan and its sister ships, the USS Spence and the USS Hull. All sank during a typhoon in December 18, 1944, killing nearly 800 brave men. 13 men from the Monahan clung to the ship and then to a piece of raft. One of them was my uncle, Evan Finn. After 4 days in shark-infested waters, only 6 survived. He and the others were spotted from the air and rescued. I know there are thousands of stories like these that need to be told. Our greatest generation should never be forgotten. Allison Smith, Lehi, Utah. Road Trip Treasures. Having lived for 45 years just a short walk from our great Cuyahoga Valley National Park in Ohio, it was lovely to surprise to see one of the runners up in your photo contest was a locomotive number 765 passing through the park. Lois Gangley, Brecksville, Ohio. Rosy pickled eggs. And here's a recipe, I guess. And it's pickled from Pickle Pink Memories. And the recipe is 1 cup of juice from pickled beets, 1 cup vinegar, 1 clove garlic, 1 medium bay leaf, 2 tablespoons mixed pickled spices, 12 hard-cooked eggs, 1 small onion sliced and separated into rings. Remove the shells from the eggs in a large bowl. Combine beet juice, vinegar, garlic, bay leaf, pickling spices, 4 cups water, and 1/2 teaspoon of salt. Mix well. Add eggs and onion rings. Cover and refrigerate for 3 to 4 days. Mix 12. Pickled pink memories. Since I have lived in Pennsylvania Dutch country all of my 66 years, it never occurred to me that red bean eggs aren't known all over the United States. My grandmother's recipe was the best, and that's what was above. Marilyn Lydick, Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Two of my favorite salad toppings are pickled beets and hard-boiled eggs. I would love to have your recipe for eggs pickled in beets. Ha, there it is. Carolee Owen, Kent, Washington. You're my very best friend, says Todd, the fox, to Copper, the hound, and the fox and the hound, the Disney tearjerker about close bonds between two unlikely pals, has a friendship with someone very different from you, enriched your life, and of Felix and Oscar, Tom and Jerry, Charlotte Wilbur? Go to rd.com/friend to share your story and see our terms. Everyday Heroes. An artist fights a devastating forest fire one can of spray paint at a time. Painting Paradise. And there's a picture of a gentleman squatting down with paintbrush in his hand, and behind him is a large panel of some sort with a picture of a man with a beard. I'm happy to be a small part of bringing hope to this community, which has gone through so much, says Shane Grammer. It was America's deadliest wildfire in at least 100 years and the most destructive in California history. The campfire started at 6:33 a.m. on November 8, 2018. Dust off by faulting electrical transmission lines in the town of Paradise. It burned for 17 days and consumed 158,336 acres north of Sacramento. In all, the fire caused $16.5 billion in damage, destroying nearly 19,000 buildings, leaving 50,000 homeless and killing 85. The beauty of this beautiful name place was gone. Shane Grammer grew up 15 miles away in Chica, and he followed the news of the fire's deadly path from Los Angeles, where a 47-year-old father of three works as a creative director for Disney's theme parks. Grammer still has friends in the Paradise area. When his childhood buddy Shane Edwards posted pictures of his white chimney, the only part of his house to survive, Grammer felt helpless. And then he had an idea. "I've got to paint that chimney," he said. He told Inside Edition, "I'm not trying to say anything. It's just that I'm an artist, and was an opportunity to express and to be an artist. And there's a picture of a wall with the head and arm of a young lady lying there, another wall with a beautiful young lady's picture on it, and a third like an old burnt silo with another picture of a young woman. I've got a..." On December 31st, amid the rubble, charred trees, and burned-out husk of cars, Grammer spent 3 hours spray-painting a strikingly eerie black-and-white image of a woman on the chimney, a reminder, perhaps, of the beauty of life, or even just of life itself. Grammer posted the image on Instagram. The victim of the fire especially could not contain themselves. "Beautiful and haunting," one said. Another posted, "You bring beauty and hope." Sunday, Grammer realized that what he had thought was a purely artistic expression had morphed into something deeper, the hallmark of true art. "When the fierce mule moved so many people in this community, I knew I had to come back up," Grammer told KACB and TV in Reading. Over a period of 3 months, he returned 8 times, painting 17 portraits of victims and biblical figures on walls, pickups, and shards of buildings. "There is hope," he explains. "There is beauty in the ashes." Outside one house, he found a photo of an 8-year-old named Eleanor. Seeing it as a sign, he painted a mural of her on a lone wall of her home that was left standing. It was, Grammer says, a stamp that life was here and that life could continue to be here. The portrait has special meaning for the homeowner. Eleanor's father, Greg Wedding, recalls how she used to play just feet away from where her mural was painted. "She would constantly be digging in the mud, and it was right below the kitchen window, so we could always keep an eye on her," he says. The tree that was there was beautiful maple that had just made everything in the kitchen red. Eleanor herself returned once to admire the painting. Grammer's work in Paradise has now become a movement, and has traveled the world painting murals in dark places that sort of needed some light: an orphanage in Tijuana, Mexico, a youth ministry in San Francisco, a nonprofit for child sex trafficking survivors in Cambodia. "I went to do something powerful and create art that moves people," he said. Ironically, that first painting on the chimney in Paradise survived only a few months. The bulldozer is a cool art critic. Grammer couldn't be more delighted. It means that the spirit of Paradise is rising again. Everyday Heroes. Peak Performance. Colorado's Gray's Peak rises 14,278 feet above sea level, high enough that trees can't grow toward the top, though there are plenty of shrubs, rocks, and boulders. It was in this unforgiving terrain that Bev Whittlestat was unlikely enough to rupture the anterior cruciate ligament and meniscus on her left knee. It was August 2018, and Whittlestat, 56, was on her way back down the hill trail with three friends. A storm was brewing, and they were anxious to get off the mountain. When they approached a rocky drop of a couple of feet, Whittlestat decided that instead of shimmying down on her butt, the safe way to go, she would leap. She landed on her left leg. Then she heard the snap. Every step after that was agony. Before long, she had to stop as one friend went down to help, get help. A number of other hikers, all strangers, attempted to help Whittlestat down the narrow trail by walking on either side of her to support her weight. But that proved slow and dangerous. One man was so close to the ledge I could see rocks tumbling down from where he stepped on them, Whittlestat said. Finally, one hiker, Matt, asked her, "How do you feel about a fireman's carry?" Before she knew it, he had lifted her over his shoulder, and there's a picture of him walking along with this lady slung over his shoulders, one arm around her other arm, and she's holding on tight. Now I'm not tiny, said Whittlestat, a former college basketball star. Matt clearly couldn't carry her all the way down by herself. So six hikers and one of her friends took turns carrying her while she tried to make light of the difficult situation. I told them I wanted to meet a lot of guys, but this wasn't the way I wanted to do it. 3 hours and two rock-strewn miles later, the human conveyor belt finally met the medics who took Whittlestat to the hospital. She has mostly recovered from her ill-fated hike, but Whittlestat knows she'll never shake the one thing from that day, the memory of the band of strangers who came to her rescue. I'm still in awe. Then there's the picture of the gentleman walking with her slung over his shoulder. A resourceful hiker used Bev Whittlestat's walking sticks to craft a splint for her leg. Now some quotable quotes. Don't be scared if you don't do things in the right order. I didn't think I'd have dessert before breakfast today, but hey, it turned out that way, and I wouldn't change a thing. Minda Kaling, comedian and actress. Hard work should be rewarded by good food. Ken Follett, writer. If we are to remain a free and viable society, we need to spend less time looking at the screen and more time looking into each other's eyes. Glenn Close, actor. Books can be dangerous. The best ones should be labeled, "This Could Change Your Life." Helen Exley, author. The difference between doing something and not doing something is doing something. James Cord, comedian. There is light at the end of the tunnel, which hopefully is not a freight train. Mariah Carey, singer. It is often easier to make progress on mega ambitious dreams. Since no one else is crazy enough to do it, you have little competition. Mary Page, entrepreneur. If you don't find your passion and you're your paycheck, go find it somewhere else. Sarah Haynes, TV host. A point to ponder. Grief can change your outlook. You don't ever forget the shock, the sadness, and the pain. But I do not believe that grief changes who you are. Grief, if you let it, will reveal who you are. It can reveal depths that you did not know you had. The startling weight of grief can burst any bubble of complacency in how you live your life and help you live it up to the values you espouse. Prince William, Duke of Cambridge. A Bad Fiction Writing Contest. I won! By Mark Schweitzer, age 63, from Tryon, North Carolina. Why would you want to become famous for being a terrible writer? Sounded like a great title to have, if you just win once. I first entered in 2006, then got a dishonorable mention in 2013. That means if you're just bad enough to make the cut. Does writing badly come natural to you? In fact, my English grades were quite appalling. Bad writing comes in a flash of unbrilliance, but it takes a bit of craftsmanship. You want to cringe and laugh at the same time. The trick is to find the smile that doesn't work at the metaphor that is so bad it makes you laugh. Which one of your most cringeworthy lines ever? It was about a woman whose lips were like two plump worms wiggling on a hot sidewalk. My tagline, it was a cruel smile, and an analytical. You had to know what analyte was, and when no one did, they said, you spelled analytical wrong. Who is your bad writing hero? Raymond Chandler, except he is not bad. He's brilliant. His similes and metaphors are wonderful. You look at him and say, that's the master. I should try to emulate him badly. The Bulwer-Lytton Fiction Contest asked writers for atrocious opening sentences for an imaginary novel. Schweitzer won the Dark and Stormy category in 2018. A little humor. Life in these United States. And there's a cartoon. So there's a gentleman sitting in an easy chair with a newspaper and a pipe. How old is that? And a lady standing outside the kitchen door. And a dog all dressed up in a tuxedo with a walking stick and a top hat. Howard, I think the dog wants to go out. As we drove into Traverse City, Michigan, we were greeted by a billboard advertising a restaurant in town. Its claims, steaks bigger than an 8th Street pothole. Noanne Schwartz, Rookhaven, Michigan. My 3-year-old grandson asked his mother whether his younger brother used to be in her stomach. Yes, she said. How did he get there, he asked. I'll tell you when you're a little older. Well, just tell me this, he said, concerned. Did you eat him? Pat Jewell, Shawnee, Kansas. Would love for 1 second of my adult life feel as amped up as I did as a child, knowing I had $5 to spend at the Scholastic Book Fair? Kristen Jarnett. Apartment life. Often means little privacy. I realized that one day when my kitten was running around my bedroom, climbing onto shelves and into the dresser as I was getting ready for work. I finally exploded at the kitten. You'd better sit down. You're getting on my nerves. A second later, a voice from upstairs responded, okay. LaDonna Danielson Hughes, Maysville, Ohio. Mother was a health food nut, much to Dad's chagrin. She was always adding wheat germ and other supplements to his food. You'll live to be 100 if you keep eating like this, she enthused. No, I won't, he muttered as he readied himself for another spoonful of fortified oatmeal. But it's sure going to seem like it. Annazella, Middletown, Connecticut. The latest in maternity couture. Having a baby is stressful, so it's not surprising that an expectant mother might become distracted and mistake a very nice gift for something it isn't. If you feel like a failure today, just know that I wore a car seat cover a friend gave me because I thought it was a skirt. And it's a picture of a lady in a horizontally striped outfit skirt, which is actually a car seat cover. Department of Wit, Dear Mother Goose, a fine-feathered friend advises some real characters. Dear Mother Goose, my husband recently passed away, killed by our next-door neighbor, baked into a pie and eaten. And now my son, Peter, is acting out. He keeps sneaking into this neighbor's property and stealing his vegetables. I set him to bed for chamomile tea. His three sisters don't behave this way. This is just an instance of boys will be boys, or are there deeper issues here that I should be concerned about? Mama Rabbit. Dear Mama Rabbit, this is a behavioral problem that demands action far beyond chamomile tea. Peter sounds very troubled, understandably so given what your family has been through. I realize that money may be tight, but you should consider looking for a new place, or perhaps even find friends or family to crash with temporarily so that you don't have to keep living directly next door to the people who ate your husband. That must be very upsetting to all of you. Dear Mother Goose, I am friends with a wonderful boy who I love very much. We used to spend lots of time together, but he's grown older. Our relationship has become more one-sided. I was delighted to offer him all my apples and branches for our own personal profit, and he even to be chopped down for kindling for his sailing hobby. I just want to make him happy. But as a thanks, or how are you doing, tree? Really so much to ask? The tree. Dear tree, this may be hard to hear, but while you see yourself as a giving tree, at this point you are more of a codependent tree. I'm not excusing the behavior of this boy, who sounds like a selfish jerk, but you obviously get something out of being a martyr. Set some boundaries with the boy and enforce them. That isn't selfish. It's just learning how to take care of yourself and breaking this unhealthy dynamic. Think about what would make you happy outside of this relationship. Yoga, painting, decomposing into food for fungi and insects, and then pursue that. I think you'll find that healthy boundaries are truly the best gift you and this boy can give each other. Dear Mother Goose, I am being aggressively pursued by someone, I'll call him S.I.A., who is bizarrely obsessed with getting me to eat green eggs and ham. He has offered no explanation of where the ham and eggs came from, why they are green, or why he cares if I eat them. I have turned him down calmly and clearly, but he is following me everywhere. Nevertheless, SIA thinks I might like the food. He has brought a mouse, a fox, and a goat to me, as if that could change my mind. He is always polite and friendly. Still, this experience has been very stressful. Am I being unreasonable? Should I just eat the food and get him to go away? Dear Anonymous, this person is with extremely unhealthy, perhaps even dangerous boundary issues. You describe SIA as polite and friendly, but there is nothing polite and friendly about stalking you and insisting that you try a mysterious meat product after you have repeatedly declined. No is a complete sentence. Not an opportunity to debate, not an opportunity to bring goats into a debate. Sure, you might like the green eggs and ham. So what? Even if you did, that wouldn't justify this creepy and overinvestment in what you eat. If you haven't already, block SIA on your phone, email, and all social media platforms, and remain firm if he gives up again, without or without a mouse or a fox. If you turn down his green ham 27 times, but then cave in and try it, all you are teaching him is that he has to pester you 28 times to get what he wants. We found a fix. 9 tricks to improve your life. And there's a picture of what looks like a picture, round picture frame with a fork behind it. Hang a picture with a fork. Decorating. Having trouble getting your picture frame where to catch on the nail in the wall? Use a fork. Place it facing out with the handle sticking skyward. With the handle sticking skyward and the nail or screw wedged between the middle tines. The fork's natural contours will cause it to stick out from the wall at the slight angle. Slide the picture wire behind the fork until it reaches the nail, then remove the fork. Number 2. Reduce wrinkles without an iron. Travel. If your hotel room doesn't have an iron, try this trick to get the worst of the wrinkles out. On a flat surface, place a damp towel over the wrinkled clothing and press down to smooth out deep creases. Then hang it to air dry. You can also use the hotel tea kettle. When water is boiling, hold your clothing item about a foot away from the steam. Number 3. Don't leave your car on while you fill up. Auto. According to the Petroleum Equipment Institute, static electricity can ignite vapors from the gas station pump, starting a fire. This is more likely in colder months when the air is dry. Make sure your engine is off before you reach for the nozzle, and avoid getting back into the car, which creates static when your clothing rubs against the seat, until you're finished refueling. Number 4. You protect your skin from your phone. Health. Electronics that contain metals such as nickel and cobalt, as some cell phones do, can cause an allergic reaction in some people. If you have red, dry, or itchy patches on your skin, on your ear, hand, or cheek, pick up a home kit to test for the suspect metals. They're also used in jewelry and belt buckles. You can protect yourself by setting your phone to speaker, using an earpiece, or putting a cover and clear film on your phone. 5. Picture of a puppy dog in a bed standing there, and the puppy dog looks so sad. Number 5. Get urine out of the carpet. Pets. Club soda works wonders on pet urine and other tough stains. Blot up the offending liquid, then soak the spot with club soda. Blot again and scrub with diluted carpet shampoo if needed. Number 7. Take your router out of the closet. Technology. Having open space for its signal can make a remarkable improvement in your Wi-Fi speed, explains Ryan Hansen, a Verizon Business Internet specialist. Hansen also notes that if you have a big home, the distance from the router to your device might create connectivity issues. To create a seamless network, it might be worth investing in Wi-Fi extenders. They start at about $30. Water-hanging plants. Home. If you can't quite reach a hanging plant with a watering can, ice cubes might help. Just toss several cubes into the pot. Bonus, the slow-melting ice won't cause sudden downpour from the drain hole. Number 8. Rinse whole grains. Food. Even though grains such as rice, barley, and quinoa are boiled in water and broth until tender, they require an earlier round of rinsing to remove excess starches, dirts, and germs. Plus, quinoa has a natural coating of saponin, a substance that gives it a bitter taste. Number 9. Save on prescriptions. Money. Even if you have insurance, ask whether your prescription will cost less if you pay for the drug directly. Sometimes that price is less than your insurance copay. If the drug is covered by your insurance plan and your pharmacist participates in your plan, Most insurers will count a purchase such as this towards your out-of-pocket expenses, so it will still help fulfill your deductible. Just be sure to complete any necessary paperwork. Everyday Miracles. The Bus Crash Angels. The phone rings. I wait for the answering machine to get it, but for some reason it's not picking up. I exhale, annoyed because I know the call is either going to be for my wife, Susan. She's the only one who receives calls on the Hope line, and she left to take Alice to school 10 minutes ago. Or it's the latest of 300 attempts to sell me something I have absolutely no interest in. Hello, I say, at edge to my voice. Daddy, it's me. It's Alice, my 12-year-old daughter. Mommy was just in a car accident. My heart stops and begins pounding. Are you all right? Yes. Is Mommy? I don't know, sobbing. I don't think so. Come quick. I sprint a few blocks to what looks like the chute for a disaster movie. Fire engines, police cars, and ambulances are randomly parked in the street. Helicopters circle. A city bus is on the wrong side of the road. Its front end are smashed remains of Susan's car. Susan is pinned under the dashboard. There is no front windshield, no front end for that matter. Alice is standing on the corner crying, covered in tiny shards of glass, but uninjured, inconceivable. Susan isn't so lucky, but she is alive. It turns out she has broken nearly every bone in her body, and she will spend almost 3 months in the hospital. More than 2 years later, Susan and I were at an event at our synagogue celebrating Martin Luther King, Jr. Our temple's cantor and musical director, Danny, rushed up to us. He said excitedly, "There's a woman here tonight from one of the church choirs who you have to meet." He returned with an African-American woman with a bright, glowing smile. She told us she lived in the apartment building by where the wreck had happened. That morning, she had rushed to the street, still in her bathrobe, and seen Alice standing by the side of the wrecked car, crying. She approached her, asking, "Is that your mom in there?" Alice nodded, and the woman said, "Let's pray together." Sweet, innocent Alice looked at this woman, wearing a cross around her neck, and said, "Okay, but you should know I'm Jewish." The woman smiled. She took Alice's hand and held it to her chest and said, "That's okay, and here we're all the same." Alice told her that she needed to call me, but her backpack and her phone was trapped inside the crushed vehicle, so the woman lent Alice her phone. After the accident, she said she had continued to pray for our family. We had our picture taken together, and as we were saying goodbye, she hugged us all warmly. We realized we had never been formally introduced, so she said to me, "I'm sorry, I never got your name." I told her it was Doug, and she paused as if maybe she hadn't heard me. I repeated, "Doug, like Douglas?" She looked at us and said, "Wait, your name is Susan?" Susan nodded, "and your name is Douglas?" Woman put her hand over her heart. "Oh, my goodness," she said. "My name is Susan Douglas." And with that rather amazing item, let's switch over to Consumer Reports. Okay, let's talk about a subject that's very dear to my heart. Breakfast. The Time Traveler. In 1921, Charles B. Strite patents the first pop-up toaster, a design he developed after becoming fed up with the burnt toast in his work cafeteria. In 1937, Shirley Temple said that Quaker puffed wheat is my cereal, while Consumer Reports reports that it costs almost three times as much as some others. In 1945, under a microscope, we examined six breakfast cocos, a then-popular morning drink, to see how much cocoa shell they contain. Too much means a gritty beverage. In 1949, we test 21 toasters, including the Toast-O-Lator, J., an appliance shot that walks pieces of toast through the machine, one after the other. Though inventive, our testers find it to be slow and top-heavy. In 1959, ads market Tang as a substitute for morning orange juice. But Consumer Reports says that Tang's label reads like a chemical smorgasbord. Some of our tasters say it is unpleasantly synthetic. I have to agree with that if you ever had Tang. 1968, we test USDA-inspected brands of breakfast sausage, only to find that 30% of the sausage had failed our test for filth and bacteria. Ugh. 1979, our experts cook and taste about 1,500 pancakes in search for the perfect mix. Five stock up, Jiffy, Aunt Jemima, Bisquick, A&P, and Hungry Jack. In 1981, that must have been a hard thing to have to sample 1,500 different pancakes. 1981, we test 57 breakfast cereals. Cheerios, Grape Nuts, and an All brand are among the 11 judged best for nutritional quality. 2019, Of the 8 air toaster models in our ratings, the Breville below, there's a picture of it, is our top rated. And that Breville is toaster is $80, scored 92 out of 100. Don't delay on buying your Thanksgiving plane tickets. If you're planning to travel over the Thanksgiving holidays, you might save yourself by cashing your tickets soon, advise our money editors. You'll get the lowest holiday airfares if you book your travel before early September. Well, we're past that. Sorry about that. And even later September prices tend to be better than October or November prices. In the past, the analysts at Google Flights have seen that prices rise in the month of October, then spike a week before your November departure date. If you're having trouble finding inexpensive fares, also keep in mind that your departure flight date may not be as important to determine your ticket price as when you plan to return. If your travel dates are flexible, planning to return after the post-Thanksgiving weekend ends, say the Tuesday or Wednesday, could help you score a much cheaper ticket. Your fridge's water filter. How do I know when it's time to replace my filter? Many manufacturers' filters last about 6 months, but depending on your usage and your local water, you may need to change it more frequently than that. Some models have an indicator that will let you know when the filter needs to be changed. Other signs that your current filter has kicked, the water begins to trickle out more slowly, or taste may change, becoming similar to the taste of water straight from your unfiltered tap. How much do replacement filters cost? Filters can be surprisingly pricey. A 6-month replacement filter for an $1,163 Frigidaire side-by-side, for example, costs $41. Assuming the expected lifespan of your fridge is 12 years, you'll be paying an extra 85% of the fridge's purchase price for the filters alone, almost doubling the cost of the appliance. And we've seen some filters that cost even more, around $50. So before buying a new fridge, it's smart to find out if the filter's cost and factor it in. Is it okay to use cheaper filters bought online? We don't advise it. After investigating, CR found that most aftermarket filters that we looked at on Amazon.com weren't certified to recognize quality and performance on safety standards. Last fall, Amazon told CR that it requires filters to meet a minimum standard, but the company was still working to secure compliance from all of its suppliers. The only aftermarket brand we found with proper refillable certifications for its filters is Culligan, which sold its filters for about 40% less than those from the refrigerator manufacturers. If you shop online, make sure that any filter you buy is at least certified by a recognized test lab to comply with the voluntary standards, NSF/ANSI 5142, which is NSF International Standard for most that addresses the aesthetic qualities of water as well as material safety. To learn about other water filter certifications that address various other contaminants you might be concerned about, go to cr.org/filters0919. Be aware that cheaper seemingly name brand filters from third-party sellers online can be fakes. If at all possible, you should purchase filters directly from the industry verified sources, such as those listed on refrigerator manufacturers' websites, says James Dickerson, CR's chief scientific officer. According to a recent industry-sponsored study, counterfeit filters can do more harm than good, actually contaminating the water that passes through them. What happens if I don't replace the filter? Most public drinking water is relatively safe without having filtered, and many refrigerator from brands including GE, LG, and Whirlpool, which makes the KitchenAid model with a $50 replacement filter, will dispense water just fine without a filter in place, says CR's lead tester, Joseph Pasella. So if you don't care that filtering your water or employing the taste, then you don't need to spend money on replacement filters. But fridges made by Frigidaire and Electrolux require the filter to be installed for the water dispenser and ice maker to work. And there's a picture here of it. It's just kind of complicated as to where to put the filter in and everything. Recalls. Ford automobiles. Ford is recalling about 107,850 2013 F-150 vehicles with a 6-speed automatic transmission and a 5.0-liter and 6.2-liter gasoline engines that had the powertrain control module software pre-programmed as part of a recall 19S07. Software used for the recall did not have the updates necessary to prevent a potential unintended downshift into first gear or to ensure illumination of the malfunctioned indicator light. Depending on the vehicle's speed, an abrupt downshift without warning can result in loss of vehicle control, increasing the risk of a crash. Affected vehicles were built at the Dearborn Assembly Plant and at Kansas City Assembly Plant. Vehicles that have not had 19SO507 performed are not affected by the new recall and will receive updated software under the existing 19SO7 program. Dealers will rechrome the powertrain control module with the appropriate software calibration. The Ford reference number of recall is 19S19. MacBook Pro laptops. Apple is recalling about 432,000 15-inch MacBook Pro laptop computers because the batteries can overheat, posing a fire hazard. They were sold at Apple stores and electronic stores and online at apple.com from September 2015 through February 2017, starting at about $2,000. What to do? Stop using the laptop and call Apple at 1-800-275-2273. Or go to apple.com to determine whether your computer is part of the recall and to schedule a free repair. Apple wall plug adapters. Apple is recalling about 815,000 three-prong AC wall plug adapters because they can break and expose the metal portion of the adapter, posing an electronic shock risk. The adapters were sold at Apple stores and at other home electronics stores and online at apple.com. from January 2003 through January of 2015 for about $30. What to do? Stop using the wall plug adapter and call Apple at 1-800-275-2273 or go to apple.com for details and to get a free replacement. Wooden toy vehicles from Target. Target is recalling about 495,000 Bullseye playground wooden toy vehicles because the wheels on them can detach, posing a choking hazard to children. The toys were sold at Target stores and online at Target.com from October 2018 through November 2018 for about $1 for individual vehicles and about $8 for an 8-pack. What to do? Take the toys away from the children immediately and return them to any Target for a refund. Call Target at 800-440-0680 or go to Target.com for details. Imagine trying to take that toy away from your child. Amazon space heaters. Amazon is recalling about 355,000 Amazon Basics 1,500-watt ceramic space heaters because they can overheat, posing fire and burn hazards. The heaters were sold at Amazon.com from October 2017 through March 2019 for $25 to $35. What to do? Stop using the heater, obviously. Amazon will directly contact all customers who bought the heaters with instructions on how to receive a full refund. Or call Amazon at 888-280-4331 for details. Ion Audio portable speakers. Ion Audio is recalling about 41,000 portable speakers with brand names Sport Express, Cornerstone, Cornerstone Glow, and Keystone because the hydrogen gas can leak from the battery when it is charging and the speaker can burst, posing an explosion hazard. Ugh. Sport Express speakers were sold at Best Buy from June 2018 through May 2019 for about $70. Cornerstone, Cornerstone Glow, and Keystone speakers were sold at electronic stores and online from March 2016 through March 2019. Cornerstone and Cornerstone Glow models for about $100, Keystone for about $200. What to do? Stop using the recalled portable speakers and contact Ion Audio at 833-682-0371 for details and to get a refund in the form of an Ion Audio gift card. Honda ROVs. Honda is recalling about 82,000 model year 2016 through 2019 Honda Pioneer 1000 side-by-side vehicles because the throttle pedal can stick in the open position, posing crash and injury hazards, I guess so. The ROVs were sold at authorized Honda Power Sports dealers nationwide from August 2015 through March 2019 for $14,000 to $22,000. What to do? Stop using the ROV and contact an authorized Honda Power Sports dealer to schedule an appointment for a free inspection and repair. Call American Honda at 866-784-1870 or go to powersportshonda.com for details. American Apparel Sleep Sacks. American Apparel is recalling about 10,600 children's sleep sacks, a type of sleepwear, because they don't meet the flammability standard for children's sleepwear, posing a risk of burn injuries to children. The sleep sacks were sold online at AmericanApparel.com from January 2018 through January 2019 for $15 to $20. Sorry about that. What to do? Take the recalled sleep sacks away from children, stop using them, and contact American Apparel at 833-222-7760 for details and either a full refund or a replacement product. Product update. How much dirt do uprights and canisters pick up from carpets? 100 grams, 60 grams, the best we tested. 20 grams, the worst we tested. So in other words, you don't get it all no matter how good your vacuum cleaner is. Cleanup crew. Our thorough tests cover the best upright canister and stick vacuums for carpet or hardwood floors and for special needs such as pet hair and allergies. And she says shoe in a picture here, the Dyson Ball Animal 2 for $500 and the Shark Duo Clean Powered Lift Away for $300. Okay. Whether you're whisking up a mess of spilled coffee grounds on the kitchen floor or giving your living room carpet a workout after a week of golden retriever roughhousing, you want the job to be done well, and that means the crumb or hairball left behind. Choosing the right type of vacuum for the task at hand is key to your success. Large or full-size vacuums include canister and uprights, the most powerful type. Each of these has advantages. If you live in a single-story home with lots of carpets, an upright is a good choice. But if you live in a multi-level home, a canister lets you rest the weight of the machine on a landing while you clean the stairs with the hose. Small vacuums include stick, handheld, and robotic models. We're in the midst of testing more RoboVacs, so those models are not discussed here. Stick and handheld vacuums are lightweight and convenient for picking up smaller messes. They're not intended for serious cleaning, though stick vacuums as a category are becoming much more powerful. The main difference between uprights and canisters versus sticks and handhelds is their ability to deep clean carpets, says Frank Reese, one of our vacuum test engineers. Lighter vacuums don't have the strong suction and brush rule combination of uprights and canisters. The rigors of our testing. To determine how well vacuums perform, we conduct different tests for different types. Here are the details. Carpet cleaning. Inside a climate-controlled chamber, our testers weigh each empty canister or upright and each carpet section before embedding talc and sand in the pile. After vacuuming, machine and carpet are weighed again to see how much of the vacuum sucked up. For stick models, a mix of dry rice, sand, and Cheerios is scattered on the surface of the carpet and vacuumed. The stick is weighted before and after the test. We also apply pet hair to the carpets, weighing the hair before and after vacuuming. Bare floor cleaning. Using sand for uprights and canisters and the same rice sand Cheerios stick mix for stick vacuums, we measured the pickup for each model, which tests to see how well stick vacs clean edges and corners. Our testers broadcast sand into a corner along a multi-simulated baseboard. Then they measure the distance of the remaining sand to the edge after one full pass. The best vacuums keep dirt well contained inside a bag or dustbin to keep the air clean, an important consideration for allergy sufferers. During these evaluations, our testers fill each vacuum with a precise measure of fine wood floor and run it in a sealed chamber, measuring the amount of floor released back into the room down to 0.1 micrometers. The testers then use the same vacuum to clean carpets scattered with more wood flour and measure the air again for the particles released after the vacuum's brush has agitated the carpet. We also test handling or how easy each model is to use noise and tool airflow, which is the strength of the machine's hose section, and how well the suction holds up in the air vacs with dust. To calculate predicted reliability, we survey our members about the procedures, about the products they own, then use the data to make projections about how the new models from a given brand will hold up over time. Predicted reliability ratings are based on estimated problems rated by the end of the fifth year of ownership for vacuums not covered by a service contract. As you can see, a lot of work goes into determining which vacuums clean the best and save you work once you get your new machine home. Will your vacuum last? We asked CR members about the problems they've experienced with more than 51,000 non-robotic vacuums in our 2018 survey. Here's a look at how 18 brands compare across the themes three most widely sold vacuum types. And this is interesting because looking at this, there are only a few that actually get a good or better rating. All the rest of them have really poor stuff. Bissell, Black & Decker, Dirt Devil, Dyson, Electrolux, Eureka, Fuller Brush, Hoover, Kenmore, Kirby, Maytag, Mabo, Dreck, Ricar, and Simplicity Uprights all got negative ratings, or at least not very good ratings. Only Sebo and Shark got good ratings. As far as canisters go, Bissell, Dirt Devil, Dyson, Electrolux, and Eureka all got average ratings. Hoover got a negative. Kenmore got an average rating. Miele, Rainbow, and Shark all got ups. As far as sticks goes, the Bissell got an average. Black & Decker and Dirt Devil both got good ratings. Dyson, Electrolux, and Eureka got very poor ratings. Hoover got an average rating. Miele, got an average rating, as did Dreck. And Shark got a double up. Shark seems to be one of the better of the bunches. Pickup artists. The three models below are all-around winners that wowed at every cleaning task. Keep in mind that uprights and canisters undergo some tough tests, so you compare their overall scores, but test is sticked in models that are tailored to their lighter use. So their scores are comparable, only within category. On the following pages, you'll find more top specs specifically for carpets and hardwood floors, as well as the choices for pet owners and allergy sufferers. The top rater was the Miele Complete Vacuum for $1,100, no wonder. And it's a bagged canister. This Miele is one of the only full-size vacuums to earn overall rating as excellent. It beats most other canisters in most of the CR's tests, and the rating gets a boost from Miele's canister marked for reliability and owner satisfaction. It costs almost twice as much as its brand mate, the Miele Complete C3 All-X, All-Size, $650, but it has a powerful brush roll that Elise doesn't include. And the bagged upright, Kenmore Elite Pet Friendly at $350. This Kenmore is one of our top-performing uprights, with scores of very good or excellent in most tests, including the best-in-class performance on bare floors and emissions, and impressive carpet and pet hair cleaning. It's not perfect. However, it's noisier than average, and at 21 pounds is heavy for an upright, which contributes to a lower rating for handling. And contortless stick, the Bissell Air Ram, $200. Excellent overall, this quiet machine earned the highest scores in our bare floor carpet and pet hair test. It contains dirt exceptionally well and got a very good grade on our edge cleaning and clearing sand along simulated baseboards. The dustbin is easy to empty and replace with a lever that helps push the debris from the bin. Average battery runtime is 47 minutes. Best for carpet. Your wall-to-wall and area rugs will be tamed by these models. They ate up our dealer's tester's mix of ground-in grit with ease. If you're vacuuming stairs, consider the canister for convenience of the stick. The Decent Ball Animal 2 at $500 is the very best in our test at cleaning embedded dirt from carpets. The Kenmore Elite Pet Friendly Ultra Push at $400. Uprights are usually more effective than canister models at cleaning carpets, but the Kenmore stood up to sand and talc like a champ. Dirt Devil Power Stick for a corded stick at $80. This corded stick vacuum cleaned best-in-class carpet cleaning performance, dispatching our tester's messy mix of sand, dry ice, dry rice, and Cheerios with ease. The best for hardwood floors. Considering canister vacs are generally better suited for bare floors than uprights or sticks, but of these three models, A-Star Bare Floors Test pick up debris neatly without scattering across the surface. The Shark Navigator-powered lift-away at $300. The standout Shark sold through Target is one of the highest-rated mid-ply uprights. It scores excellent for bare floors and very good for carpet. The Miele Complete CS Elise, this is the one I mentioned earlier, at $650. It weighs significantly less than most full-size canisters, but this highly rated bag model performs very well overall. And the cordless stick Kenmore Elite Complete for $350. Top ratings in our bare floor edge cleaning and pet hair test make this model a winner. It comes with two brush rolls, one for carpet and one for bare floors. And the best for pet owners. Picking up the long, feathery Maine Coon cat for our testers stomp into the test carpets is no easy feat. But these top performers do the job so well, you'll be purring. The Mealy Dynamic UT Cat, that's an interesting name for it, at $550. You'd expect a vacuum named Cat and Dog to wow us with pet hair, and this upright doesn't disappoint. It delivers superb pet hair pickup and aces carpet and bare floor tests. The Mealy Bizard CX1 Cat and Dog. This highly rated bagless canister weighs just 15 pounds, but performs well overall. The cordless stick, the Dirt Devil Reach Max Plus, $180. Rated very good overall, this cordless model excels at picking up pet hair and A-Star carpet and bare floor tests. The best for allergy sufferers. Great marks in our emissions tests mean that these models keep dirt inside the machine and out of the air. Your best bet is a bagged model with a HEPA filter. The Kenmore Pet Friendly 31111. This bag Kenmore is one of the top budget uprights. It is only $200, offering outstanding value, and excels at capturing all the dust it picks up, important if you have allergies or other respiratory problems. The Kenmore Elite Pet Friendly Crossover for $500. This Kenmore is a top performer among canisters. In addition to its excellent emissions grades, it earned some of the category's highest scores for cleaning carpet and for suction power. And the cordless stick, the Shark Ion Cord-Free Multiple at $450. Like most stick models, this quiet cordless Shark is bagless. Still is extremely well in CR's emission tests, as well as pet hair and bare floor cleanups. And then they have a listing of the handheld vacs for $15 or less. It's a pain to haul out a full-size vacuum to clean up snack crumbs between your sofa cushions or dog hair from the back seat of your car. Those are perfect tasks for a handheld vacuum, and these budget-friendly vacs can tackle them without breaking the bank. Because handheld vacs aren't intended for deep cleaning, we adjust the task in our tests to match their typical uses, such as cleaning up dry messes quickly and reaching into tight spots well. Many of the newly tested cordless models have updated, longer-lasting lithium-ion batteries, and their run times for models in our tests range from 9 to 30 minutes. Many models come with useful accessories, as Black & Decker and Eureka at Wright come with crevice tools, and the Bissell has a pet hair tool as well. The Black & Decker Dustbuster cost $50. It's got a 78 rating. The Bissell Pet Hair Eraser is $35, and that's kind of a neat-looking thing, too. It's a little different than most. It costs $35. It got a 71. And the Eureka Easy Clean at 718 was $50, and it also got a 71. And it's also kind of strange-shaped from what you normally expect. Building a better world together. Stopping surprise bills. What's at stake? When you go to a hospital that's in your health insurer's network, you might assume that your care will be covered. Unfortunately, that's not always the case. You can end up with a sizable surprise bill if an out-of-network doctor assists during surgery or is on duty in the emergency room or when your sample is sent to an outside lab. You don't control these things, but you can pay mightily for them. It is fundamentally unfair to get hit with out-of-network bills when you're treated at healthcare facilities covered by your insurance, says Dana Mendelson, Senior Policy Counsel at CR. How CR has your back. CHAR has been a leader in advocating for laws to protect patients from surprise medical bills. New York's governor is soon expected to sign a CHAR-backed bill to make excessive emergency room charges subject to an independent dispute resolution process. We are pushing similar laws in California at the federal level, where legislators in both parties say it's time to stop this unfair practice. CHAR has endorsed the No Surprises Act, a bill in the U.S. House of Representatives to prevent surprise bills from out-of-network providers in emergency rooms and in in-network facilities. And we've endorsed similar legislation in the U.S. Senate. And if you watch TV, you've seen advertisements recently with somebody telling us not to support this program. Learn how to advise medical bills at cr.org/medical bills. And if you've been hit with one, tell us your story at cr.org/surprise1019. Protecting data security. What's at stake? We seem to hear about another theft consumer data almost daily. The massive Equifax breach in 2017 is only the most notorious case. Capital One, Dunkin', Microsoft, Quest Diagnostics, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency have acknowledged breaches or vulnerabilities in 2019 alone. All told, hundreds of millions of Americans have been exposed to the risk of identity theft in recent years. Yet for all the headlines, laws pertaining to data breaches remain woefully out of date and largely ineffective. That could begin to change with the passage of a New York of the Stop Hacks and Improve Electronics Data Security Act, which would raise standards for the handling of customer data and broaden requirements for consumer notifications. CR has your back by engaging in a year-long effort to advance the SHIELD Act, working with Albany lawmakers to testify in favor of the bill. It passed legislature in June, and Governor Andrew Cuomo is expected to sign it soon. But pushing for stronger laws is just one part of CR's broader effort to digital security rights to protect consumer privacy. This summer, we launched our digital lab to develop 10 new ways to test report on the security of digital products and services. Reinforcing recall alerts, what's at stake? In 2016, IKEA announced the recall of millions of unstable dressers, including its MAME line, which had been tied to 7 child tip-over deaths and at least 17 injuries. The recall came after months of pressure from CR and other groups. More than 3 years later, it has become clear that not enough has been done to get these dangerous dressers out of the U.S. homes. 3 more children have since been killed, and at least 127 more people injured, says IKEA dressers. Now, CR has your back. This June, on the 3rd anniversary of that recall, CR and other consumer advocates joined parents who lost children to furniture tip-over incidents in front of IKEA's New York City store. They called on the company to do more to alert parents about the risk and take easier for customers to return the dressers to have them picked up at their homes. In response to questions that CR's reporter, IKEA released updated recall data for the first time in 2 years. The company has issued only 400,000 refunds, meaning an overwhelming portion of the recalled dressers, at least 15 million, are unaccounted for, with many probably remaining in people's homes. When unsafe products are recalled, companies must do everything in their power to alert consumers to get these products out of homes, says Megan Bone, CR's Associate Director of Campaigns. They need to be proactive, transparent, and thorough in their efforts, and we must have government enforcement to hold them accountable. And with that, we've just about run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next time, and thanks so much again for listening.